Hola, cage fighting connoisseurs. That was Eugene S. Robinson trying to stomp the patented intro.
Stomp, stomp, stomp.
So much cares, so much feels he has. This is Kid Nate, BloodyElbow.com, here for the Care Don't Care preview of UFC Fight Night Fairfax, a.k.a. UFC Fight Night Mendez versus Lamas.
Kid Nate, I thought I was in with Lennon.
You with look, Lennon?
You're looking very much not like John, the Ilyich one.
I do have the bald thing going on, but didn't Lennon just have the
yeah, little... but you know, at first blush, that was the first person I thought of, you know?
I see.
Are you using some kind of Grecian formula as well?
No. It's just got the one gray patch, you know? I'm copying your look on your hair.
Yeah, okay, there you go. All right.
Just had to bleach it. Just put a little Clorox on it every day to have it right there.
Yeah, I went to some corporate thing and I sat next to the guy who was like the CEO of Clorox, and I was like gonna try to hit the guy up for something. I'm racking my brain, and the midway through the lunch, and he leans over and he goes, "Hey," I go, "Yeah," he goes, "Here you go," and he hands me some fucking chapstick, but it's Burt's Bees. I go, "Burt's Bees?" He goes, "Yeah, we own them." That's what I get from the CEO of Clorox.
Man.
Some chapstick.
Some chapstick. Not even chapstick. Off-brand health food chapstick.
Yeah, right. It was like, that's a sleazy secret. Nobody knows Clorox owns him. I didn't, but anyway.
I didn't either. I'll have to tell my granola relatives that they're being taken in.
Yep.
Fooled by the scam. So, we've got a disclaimer, Eugene. We owe it to the fans.
The disclaimer is the Care Don't Care preview has nothing to do with your skills or abilities as a fighter, but much more to do with the marketing heft that the UFC has decided to put behind you and not put behind you. There's a way to move from don't care to care, fight a great fight, but otherwise, you crybabies and bedwetters are going to have to tough it out and not take it personally.
Well said. And... got to remind everybody, this fight card is happening at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's right, a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. Eugene, that is going to be
wee
small hours for you, like 7 o'clock. Pacific.
No. It's 8. So Saturday at 8 a.m., I got to watch a fight?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Surely you've seen some 8 a.m. brawls in your life.
I've been in some 8 a.m. brawls in my life.
Those are some of the ugliest ones, don't you think?
Yeah, because you're tired and cranky anyway from being awake, you know. So, but hold on, is it FS1 XR3T or
on
is it...
FX1, Fox Sports 1, all the way through the prelims and the main card? All we've got four cards on the Fox Sports 1 prelims starting at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And
you
then
know how hard it is to find somebody. You know how hard it is to find somebody who's willing to invite you over to their house at 8 a.m. on
you
Saturday.
Pretty much have to sleep with them on Friday night, Eugene.
Yeah, and that's not gonna happen. So, God damn it. Where's the fight gonna be that I have to do this?
Fairfax, Virginia. The Patriot Center.
What, Fairfax, Virginia? They don't have nighttime events.
March Madness is in the evening.
Oh,
so they don't want to compete with that.
All right. Oh, well. All right. There you go.
Yep. So, you know, maybe, that's what you got to do. I don't know when they'll have it on Fight
Pass. I don't have TV. You realize it. You know what? They have TV.
Of course. It's a cord cutter like yourself, way out ahead of the curve.
They have TV at my job now.
Can't you go in early on a Saturday?
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah, just putting in some extra hours because that's how much you care, Eugene.
But, the thing is, having a TV and being able to use a TV are very, very aggressively different things.
What, like at the office? Is it like prison rec room where you have to, like, hope that, you know, Bull's
no,
not...
No, man, I haven't had TV in 18 years. You hand me the channel things, I don't... You might as well have handed me... fucking rocket ship instructions. I have no idea what to do with those things.
You should have seen my 88-year-old mom and my 2-year-old child trying to get Aristocrats show. I can't remember. Some Wildcrats. Wildcrats. They were trying to get Wildcrats on the TV together the other day.
How'd that work out?
It was about 15 minutes of hilarity, and I had to step in and turn it on with baby.
You know, I was on an airplane. I was on an airplane once. This older couple had a camera out. They were trying to take a picture with their new camera, and they were looking in the lens. And I was so shocked, I just paused and I go, "Do you want me to take a photo of you two together?" And they're like, "Oh, yes. And they get, and I kind of gracefully turn the camera around so that the lens is, you know. I was like,
very gallant of you.
That's me now. So I got to get the systems guy to figure it out for me.
See, well, you better do your homework because this is a fight card. There's at least three fights on here, maybe four fights I care about. So let's see what your take is. What's your overall cares level first?
I care.
You care?
I care more than I did last week.
Yes, yes. Last week when there was no UFC event or the Maya versus LaFleur?
Maya.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, two. Sorry, my sense of time is bad. Ryan LaFleur and Damian Maya. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit of a stinker. I'd say this card looks a little better.
Even though I did pick Damian Maya and he did win, so that was.
Oh, I see. You know, you're all time. Taking Rafael Dos Anjos just as a kind of, I'll take him just to make things interesting,
oh,
and then crowing about it.
Oh my god.
Chutzpah.
Haters are going to hate.
Uh-huh.
Haters are going to hate.
Eugene's going to crow. A broken dog crows twice a day or something like that.
Forever.
Yes, a broken dog never.
No, my big conditional crow was until the drug test came back. And I'm guessing the drug test came back clean for that fight, right?
Well, I think the Texas drug test protocol is, hey, y'all didn't do any drugs now, did you? good deal. I knew nobody was doing no drugs. Thanks, guys. Sorry I had to do that.
you mean right now? Are you doing drugs right now? No.
Well, okay. I don't see any drugs. Those aren't drugs I'm seeing. All right. I knew they weren't. I'll look away now. You can finish doing your drugs. All right.
Speaking of which, you know what I just saw that was, actually sad and terrifying? I don't know if you remember this, but I had forgotten that King Mo had fought Mark Kerr. So in answer to that question, whatever happened to Mark Kerr, man, that was a terrible fight.
He sucked up his paychecks and took some beatings.
But it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've all seen the Smashing Machine, and if you haven't, get out there and see it. It is the most no-holds-barred MMA documentary of all time, I would have to say.
I would also like it known that I think that if Mark Kerr was limping,
what are you doing?
Sorry. if Mark Kerr is like limping around and like screwed up, that Mark Kerr did that from years of wrestling.
years of wrestling and a few years of MMA.
The few years of MMA didn't do nearly the amount of damage that the wrestling did.
And the drug abusing.
It was causally connected to the wrestling, yes.
Yeah, and the whole bit. It was a whole big, ugly package.
Hey, wait!
Are they teaching lessons in the gym now, or what's going on at Team Sorrel?
At Team Dream Crush, I was actually coaching 2 weeks ago because Sorrel himself decided to take ill.
Man, what a way to crush some dreams. Sorry, no coaches are here, but Eugene is.
People were coming later on in the week. Eugene, I used that move you showed me and tapped this guy. I was like.
Oh, are you doing the elbow to the eye socket thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, good for you. I got the EJJ, the Jiu-Jitsu all going on, and these guys were doing it. So.
Did you tell him that, you know, if you do this to somebody who's actually better than you, they will make you pay?
That's okay. The idea is to advance through micro measures.
I see. Did you try any of this EJJ bullshit on Cain Velasquez when you rolled with him?
Of course I did.
Did you really?
Yes. Yeah. I thought I told you that. Because before, man, he was like being nice to me, and then I pulled some EJJ shit on him, and you could see him kind of go, oh, okay.
I'm dealing with a dick.
Yeah, and then he brutalized me. So
I see. Before that, he thought you were a harmless middle-aged man, and
a journalist. Nice. George Plimpton.
George Plimpton. All right. Let's get to the fights. First up, middleweights Ron Stallings and Justin Jones.
I actually care
because
I like the big men. And
middleweights?
Yeah, there's a middleweight.
These guys are smaller than you, Eugene.
Never mind.
Because I was going to go with, like, I think there was a Ron Stallings on the Dallas Cowboys back in the day, but...
Yeah, there was that, and Justin Jones, you know...
Sounds sort of like John Jones.
Yeah, no. Somebody said, how can you expect to be MMA Journalist of the Year when you know nothing about MMA? So I don't care.
Good, good call. All right, now we've got the big man.
And I'm honest. That's what you got to remember. I am the last free voice in America.
That's right. All right, heavyweight Shamil. I'm deeply compromised myself. All right, so heavyweight Shamil Abdurakhimov against Timothy Johnson. Now these are your big men, Eugene. For size queens like Eugene, this is.
Well, I care because of the Dagestani thing. So.
You're just going to assume because the guy's name is Abdurakhimov that he's Dagestani?
I think it's a safe assumption.
It's a pretty good assumption that there's some Caucasus. But he could be Ossetian or, you know.
Uzbek. He could be an Uzbek.
He could be a Tajik. You don't know. All right. So we'll find out on Saturday night. But so you're giving it a care?
I give it a care because I think your Japan wave of yesteryear has been replaced by a Dagestani wave. I mean, when I hear Khabib Nurmagomedov, you know, do his smack talk about cowboy, it doesn't really even actually sound like smack talk to me. It sounds like reportage.
<You know? laughs> This is how it is.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Just a voice from the front. I'm digging me some Khabib. I'm looking forward to that fight. I dig Cowboy as well, although I think he's a jackass.
You can't underestimate the skills of guys who've been doing this shit since they were small. My kids, their jiu-jitsu and their stand-up is fundamentally sounder than mine. It's like teaching somebody a language from when they were a kid. You know, they don't have to translate it first. The steps I have to take to kind of go, oh yeah, this I go, I should. They're not even doing that. You just can't, you know.
I have a lot of Studio 54 karate lessons to unlearn.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've been rolling with a Sean Bunch, and he's another guy. He's got video on his Facebook page of him rolling when he was. I mean, he's fighting Bellator now, I think. But he had been in the UFC. But he video of him rolling when he was like 7. Come on, man, 7.
And now he's a grown man.
I mean, if you were playing the saxophone at 7 and then you get to be 26, you're going to be pretty good, you know.
I had a saxophone when I was 7. I never even learned how to make notes on it.
Okay. If you had a saxophone and you continued to play instead of quitting like a quitter.
I think the innate talent there might have done something. So yeah, Bunch has actually been with Bellator his entire career. So
has he? Okay. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to, I can't believe he's on the previews, lightweights, Alexander Yakovlev versus Gray, how the mighty have fallen, Maynard.
Man. You know, that's one of those, like, they shoot horses, don't they, kind of fights, you know. However,
there's a reference to our audience. That's going to mean a lot to our audience.
Yeah, sorry. It was a 1968 movie about the 30s.
I remember the gala days of the dance marathons and the depression. I know how we got through it in my family.
Yeah. So, but you know, the thing is, I don't feel as bad as you might assume I would about Gray Maynard when I remember that he could be Mike Thomas Brown.
So you think it's better to be? I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. I'd rather be Gray Maynard than Mike Thomas Brown.
Have you seen Mike Thomas Brown lately?
He's got a nice beard. He's in the corner for American Top Team frequently.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they let him carry the bucket is what you're saying.
Seems that way, but I don't know.
I would rather be Gray Maynard. So, you know, it's like there's a great British comedy thing where this guy's been living homeless, and he turns out he's been like a famous author. He didn't know it, you know. They've been publishing his stuff, and they're like looking all over for him, nationwide search. And he's like, you know, we found you. He said, your books are bestsellers. And they go, and here's a check. And they give him a check, and he looks at the check. He goes, $50. And then he just, for the next 2 minutes of this comedy skit, he just repeats $50. Well, he says 50 pounds. It's in Britain. So 50 pounds. He says, until he goes, 50 pounds? 50 pounds. 50 pounds! So I think Gray Maynard is in the same position. You know, prelims. At least I'm on the prelims. I'm not Mike Thomas Brown. You know,
it's true. Poor Gray though. He's got 4 KO losses in his last 5 fights, and the only win was a split decision over Clay Guida, in which he was completely stymied and mystified as to how to deal with Guida's footwork.
Also, it should be said that though I've said nice things about the reality, first of all, I care about this fight. Secondly, the reality of it is, if he loses this fight, he is done. Nobody can be expected to bear the. It's just too painful.
Yeah, and Yakovlev's coming in off two losses, although they're both decision losses. So you know, Gray Maynard's getting to fight a guy who's 0-2 in the UFC. I mean, this is the end of the line for Gray Maynard. This is a guy who fought for the title not once but twice against Frankie Edgar, and it's sad to see, man. He just has been a ghost of himself ever since Frankie. He was unable to break Frankie in both of those fights. He came out and clubbed the hell out of Frankie, nearly finished it, didn't quite, and Frankie came back and knocked him out in the second fight.
So which raises the question: is Gray Maynard's problem? Is Gray Maynard's look at that? Look at what I got to put up with.
Crushing our dreams as we.
Is Gray Maynard's problem a head problem? Because I guarantee you, in Mike.
I think it was originally a head in the psychological sense, and now it's more a head as in the head trauma sense.
Yeah, really?
I think so. His chin has been touched, man. Those last couple fights, I don't think they would have got those knockouts on the old Gray Maynard. That's, you know.
Right.
So let's move on to happier topics. Women's bantamweights, Liz Carmouche and Lauren Murphy.
Yes, care.
Because of Carmouche?
Because of Carmouche. As far as I'm concerned, I'm buying into the conspiracy theories. Carmouche came closest with Ronda than anybody has. I'm buying into the bite conspiracy theory. And she, you know, I'm down. Absolutely.
Yeah. She's got two losses in a row. Lauren Murphy, not quite top of the division, so it should be an interesting battle. Let me see what Lauren Murphy's coming in off a loss, a split decision loss to Sarah McMahon. So it should be an interesting fight. And that's the headliner for the prelim card. Moving on to the main card, lightweights Dustin Poirier and Carlos Diego Ferreira. And I'm thinking the same thing. What is Dustin Poirier doing up at lightweight? I guess he outgrew the featherweight division. So where's your cares?
I care. But I don't trust Poirier enough to care enough to pick him. So,
yeah, I mean, he's only got the one loss, the knockout loss to Conor McGregor. He lost to Cub Swanson several fights back. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he does at lightweight. I we'll see. But I definitely give this a care as well. I think Poirier. I've been fond of Poirier ever since he came to the UFC. Who was the dude that he demolished who later got arrested in a horrific wife beating? Let's see. That was Josh Crispy.
Oh, I remember Josh.
Remember the fluke? Yeah. Seemed like a nice guy until we heard about training this dog to his pit bull to maul his wife. That was.
I mean, I guess he, you know, in wife beater guy fashion, I guess he thought he could say later, "I couldn't stop the dog. I couldn't." But you know,
uncontrolled dog. Do you remember that lawyer couple in San Francisco whose Presa Canario mauled their neighbor to death?
Yep.
And then it came out at the trial that the woman, and this is all allegedly, I got to put the caveat because this is from news stories I didn't really follow closely, but that the female lawyer had been fucking the dog. The dog actually belonged to a convict that was her client.
White supremacy guy.
White supremacist.
Pelican Bay.
And they had been having some kind of sick cyber thing where the husband and wife would tell the convict all about how the wife fucked the dog for him. So that was charming. Anyway, I don't know why I threw that out there, but
yeah,
I'm appalled.
I'm appalled that
you just brought that up, Eugene. Anyway.
I'm not taking the heat on that for that. That's you.
But you approve of it. Is that what you're saying? You approve of that kind of conduct?
No, I remember that case, and they went to jail for it, if I'm correct. I think the husband cleverly died to get out of it, and then the wife had to go to – she ended up taking a full ride on that. But they were really super unsympathetic characters. And you know, the thing is, I like to go running at night because I hate that whole coffee clatch of runners. Say, "Hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing?" I'll go running at night so I don't have to deal with the party favors, you know. So,
You're just another creepy guy in sweatpants lurking around outside people's windows at night. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm running at this baseball field off by a golf course. So two deserted places at night, right? And because I'm a nervous Nelly, I decide to go running with two hunting knives. So I got. I know. he's leaving now. He doesn't want to hear. So I'm jogging along because it's a dangerous neighborhood. It's, you know, I got the hunting knives and I'm running along. And I see a woman coming on the far edge of the baseball diamond. and she's got like four fucking dogs with her, and they sense me or can see me. She can't. And she lets this fucking, the leashes go, and these dogs beeline for me, you know? And you know, I know something about dog psychology. So rather than keep
running... Very racist, Eugene.
I don't know about that. But rather than run, or rather than, you know, stop or flee or interrupt my... I start chasing the dogs, right?
Alpha dog. Alpha dog is here.
Right, which the dog doesn't understand. The dogs don't understand. So, like, I start running toward them with the knives, and I'm like, ah! and she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I go, control these fucking dogs, you know? So she's, like, trying to corrals the dogs, you know, puts them back on their leashes, and she's like, you're crazy! You're crazy! I go, I'm crazy!
So you have the honey. You had to pull the honey knives out. Like, were you going to stab the dog?
I had the honey knives out already.
You were running with the honey knives out.
I'm going to put them in my pants pockets?
I don't know. I thought maybe you had, like, a Davy Crockett belt strap, leather, you know, buckskin.
It would have rubbed against my hip bones.
So you're running at night with two honey knives in your hands.
There's nobody out there. It's like midnight. There's nobody out there.
I'll just, you know, I read so much about the police and African Americans. I would never do that.
There's nobody there. There's nobody there.
A policeman could be in America. A white woman could have whistled and five cops would have been there, Eugene.
You're stuck in a different kind of, you're stuck in a different kind of America. I'm in the new America.
The new America, uh-huh, yeah.
I've got plenty of friends who are cops, you know.
Plenty of friends who are cops. That's a classic.
You like it, right? Yeah.
Some of my best friends are police.
I was running up in the hills here by Shoreline with a bag of gravel at night and a sauna suit on, right? A
bag of gravel?
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't even at night, but it was at dusk, so it was like at 8 o'clock.
Was this for your hydroponic garden, or what was the gravel for?
No, it was when I was into, like, Brooks Cubic. That guy's great. Brooks Cubic wrote a book called Dinosaur Training, so I was all into dinosaur training. And I'm holding the bag of gravel, and the cop pulls up next to me, and, you know, you expect that you're going to get hassled. The cop pulls up next to me, rolls his window down, he looks at me, goes, you okay? And I don't think he was inquiring about the nature of my physical health, you know? I start laughing. I go, I'm fine.
Yeah, he was ready to administer some electroshock therapy, I think.
You can take me in for observation. You were a threat to yourself or others. You know?
I've heard that electroshocks can do wonders for someone obviously clinically depressed like yourself. All right,
cardiac arrhythmia. Cardiac arrhythmia.
That's true. All right, so on next to the I can't believe he's on the Fox Sports 1 card at noon, featherweight Clay Guida against Robbie Peralta.
I don't mind that. You know what?
We're not asking if you mind, we're asking if you care.
I do care. I'm all a Clay Guida fan, and I don't feel bad about him being there because as far as I'm concerned, I think Guida has understood his place in the fighterverse.
He has lost four out of his last six fights.
Yep. He's just happy to be there, you know.
Yeah.
Guy, fuck it. I don't have to go back to carpentry. I was going to say pipe fitting. Go back to carpentry, you know.
Yeah, so, And so as a featherweight, he is 2-2.
I mean,
so.
if Clay Guida at any point starts to feel depressed, I don't suggest he look up Mike Thomas Brown. I suggest he look at Scott Hands of Steel Smith. See how he's doing these days.
That would be, yes. Or just look at his big brother. I mean, remember Guida's big brother? I can't even remember the dude's name, but he's the one who
slaps him in the face before he gets in the cage.
Yes, he is long since retired from big-time MMA. So
we should also say, though, that if Guida loses his fight...
I don't know that he's done, but he's done-ish.
I think he's done-ish in the UFC, man. You just can't, based on what he's probably getting paid, you know.
Yeah, but they might not want to see him in Bellator. I think he's somebody that's...
I think they probably don't want to see him in Bellator, and I think he's been enough of a company guy that I get the sense that Dana really likes him. So.
Yeah, I think so, too. So we'll see, but I do kind of like Robbie Peralta in that fight, but we will see.
I have a question for you on a sideline. Do you think that Do you think that Conor McGregor has talked himself into serious life-threatening injury?
No more than he did by signing the contract. I don't think Jose Aldo takes this personally. I think it's all business. And I think Jose is smart enough to know this dude is making me a lot of money, and if I beat this clown, this could make me a star.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's great.
That's what you did say in the comments. I don't know enough love. So, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I think he watched how the Anderson Silva Chael Sonnen thing played out, and he's like, hey, this guy could be my Chael Sonnen. And, you know, he saw how that went for Anderson, and it went well. So
I know we're kind of ahead of the curve on this a little bit, but we should pride ourselves on that. But do you think McGregor has do you see this as being a competitive fight?
Of course I do. I'm a sucker for that karate stuff. He's going to side stance him and spin kick him and, you know, like...
He's going to have Gunnar Nelson in his corner. Yeah. What happened to Gunnar Nelson? How'd they...
He lost one fight. That's all, Eugene. No epitaph has been written for Gunnar Nelson. I mean, come on.
No, of course not. He's been fighting tons since then. He fought the... hold on.
He'll be back on that horse in no time, Eugene. Back on that horse in no time.
Maybe. Depends on where his head is.
Yeah, it's true. This karate stuff, though, Eugene, it's for real. If you'd ever taken some karate lessons like I have...
I did. You kidding? I invested... You know how many years I got invested in that karate stuff? Kempo, Shotokan. I got karate trophies at home, man.
And how come you never made it to the top like Conor McGregor and Lyoto Machida and so many others I could name?
You know, there's a company in California called Failure Analysis Associates.
And I like it.
And their stock ticker four letter stock ticker number name was FAIL. FAIL. They've now changed the name to Exponents, which I think is a much less interesting name. But yeah. I, a friend of mine walked in there and stood at the front desk. He goes, "Can we help you?" He goes, "That's why I'm here." they go, "No, we do corporate civil engineering. You know, we analyze failure from that perspective." He goes, "So you can't help me?" She goes, "No." So asking me why I'm not like Conor McGregor and Lyoto Machida and Gunnar Nelson, man, that's a whole nother show.
I see. But it translates to a lack of confidence in the new style that's sweeping MMA, karate.
Dennis Hallman had a great thing. He is, "I'm going to win this," before he was wearing his Speedo, "I'm going to win this with my karate." Hey, yeah, that was great. That was a greatest lead up to a fight ever, man. I'm surprised the guy's not gotten more love. But no, it's good against guys who don't know anything.
It does seem to be most effective against those who are not expecting it. But isn't that true of anybody? So I think Aldo is the favorite, but I think Conor has a real chance. I think he's big and hits hard.
I didn't realize how much bigger he was until some of the stare downs and the press conference stuff, and then I was like, "Oh, shit! Okay, let me think about this some more." So
I also think Aldo's a little past his peak. Not that he's not still incredibly great. I just think that he's not as. I think the Jose Aldo of like 5 years ago would beat the Jose Aldo of today.
Yeah. Well, and I can't really say that. I think the me of 5 years ago would get crushed by the me of today.
Better and better in every way. Eugene, that fountain of youth has just done wonders for you.
No, just angrier, meaner. I'm not getting older. I'm getting bitter. I mean,
I
better.
Say bitter.
Same thing.
All right, so moving along. Women's bantamweight Juliana Pena and Milana Dudevia.
Yes, I care.
Because?
Juliana Pena.
Yep. Pena.
Pena. So, you know what? I'm going to write a piece about this. At the same business thing that I was at, where I was next to the guy from Clorox, I was also next to the guy from Carnegie on the other side. And NPR has single-handedly tried to convince me that Carnegie is pronounced Carnegie. And so here I am sitting next to a guy from Carnegie who I'm pretty sure told me I'm the executive vice president at Carnegie. And I go, "Okay, I got a question for you. Why does NPR mispronounce your name? They call it Carnegie." He goes, "You know, if you're in Scotland, yes. But otherwise, it's Carnegie. We call it Carnegie. The Carnegies called it Carnegie. It's Carnegie." So I'm gonna blow up NPR. I'm gonna write.
Glad you settled that. I think our dozens of viewers are gonna outweigh their millions of listeners.
And 14.
14. That's right. That's how many we have now.
But 15.
That's right. Just adding one more.
So my point is that what was the point?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we both care about Julian Pena.
You were giving me the whole the tilde N on
Pena. Yeah,
which is good. I'm down with it. I don't want to call her Pena. So I'm okay with the Pena.
Pena. All right. So, did you hear George P. Bush? Do you know who George P. Bush is?
The
Texas Land Commissioner, grandson of Jeb, one of the little brown babies that George H.D. Bush referred to many years ago to espouse his non-racist credentials, that he had brown grandchildren that he loved dearly. So George P. Bush just won like Hispanic Achievement Award from the University of Texas. Like I thought that was awesome. It was like Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize. Just like
I saw your comment there. Yeah. I was like, you're just not going to stop with this.
But, you know, George P. Bush, he can still turn it around. He can still earn
money. What about the George Bush who's the MMA fighter? I thought you were going to bring it around to that.
There's a George Bush that's an MMA fighter?
His name is George Bush.
I got to look this up. God.
You can just go to my Facebook page. Well, he may have defriended me at this point, but... He was a Facebook friend. Yeah, it was a big deal. George Bush, MMA fighter.
Well, I see him there. George Bush on Sherdog. He is 5-2. 5-2. Trains with Hammerhouse. Been a while since he fought, looks like. Last fought in Strikeforce in 2010. Fought in Yama. Fought Rico Rodriguez in Yama. That would be his big claim to fame. So it doesn't really look like the Bush family, although maybe like
he's from the half of the Bush family. There were two halves. His look is consistent with the other half of the family.
I see. Well, it does sort of look like George P. Bush in the dark skin. Anyway, lightweight Michael Chiesa, Mitch Clark.
Yes, of course.
That's a care. Yeah, I care too. Although Chiesa, another Ultimate Fighter winner, I'm not really sold on. No, I'm not really sold on Mitch Clark, but I. Just because of the Ultimate Fighter thing, I care enough about Chiesa. And he's only got the TKO loss to Joe Lozon and got Darce choked by George Masvidal, but otherwise perfect. And he even has a win over Ally Aquinta, who's coming up next. Now, this is a good fight. Lightweight, George Masvidal and Ally Aquinta.
Oh, I'm geeked. I talked about it on Knuckle Up. You know, George Masvidal is a friend of Knuckle Up. And I love this guy. You remember before he fought Gil, his arm was screwed up. He's like, screw it, man. I'm not going back to backyard fighting. You know, man, how do you deal with his arm being screwed up? Went on vacation with his wife. You know, I mean, this is got in there and fought a barn burner. I had mixed feelings because Gil's a friend of Knuckle Up too. But I love Masvidal. I love him quite a lot. His fight style. He's actually a striking guy. Who's put the time in to learn enough grappling so that he can threaten on the ground? Now I'm excited, and this is in my mind, this is a true call of nature fight. You know, I mean,
so people will be defecating in the octagon. Is that?
I will, but I'll be watching it at work, so it'll be a totally different experience.
I see.
No, I mean just the lion in winter, you know, the old making way for the new is, you know, I mean.
Do you think Masvidal is making way for Iaquinta? Is that what you're saying?
He will not.
You're picking Iaquinta?
He's going to do as an older fighter, he's going to do everything he can to crap in the middle of Iaquinta's cake, you know. So it'll be like old age and treachery, that old maxim about old age and treachery. And, you know, I like Iaquinta too, man. I don't, you know, Ray Longo's guys. I'm on the team now. But making a pick, I'm going to have to go with friend of Knuckle Up, George Masvidal. And that's a tradition for me, so.
Yeah, we've already made these calls before. I got to pick Iaquinta, although he's got a tendency – he hasn't shown it in a few fights, but he's got a tendency to throw the fight away in moments of panic. And Masvidal is not a guy to panic against, so...
And Masvidal will not be panicking, so...
No. Masvidal is ice cold. That... I mean, anybody who's done the backyard fighting thing is, you know...
I know. You know what's interesting? I watched a backyard fighting a video with Alice Casas Harris.
I just saw that recently. Bruce LeRoy.
And it was wild seeing a different guy, because he wasn't the smiling, genial kind of. He was still, I guess, on the come up. He was still trying to be like, trying to go with the, you know, the fist pound, the bear hug, and the, you know, to be the Mr. Macho. It was interesting. I like who he turned into later more than that guy.
It's true. So many of us.
But in the backyard fight, you gotta be fierce to get out of there with your money. You know.
Indeed. Do you remember felony fights?
Yes.
I didn't mention this. Was the most loathsome thing.
They were pretty terrible, man. I didn't.
Yeah. No, there was no fun. There was a lot of, if self-loathing was your thing, watching those and then hating yourself was a great combo.
I could do that. Was what bum fights was for, you know.
Bum fights also horrible. I believe the proprietor of Bum Fights might have gotten into some legal trouble at the end of it all.
Yeah, he did. You know what? I feel ashamed to say this, but I had this idea. I go, you know what? What they should have really done is start a website called Bum Fucks. You know, because what homeless guy wouldn't want to have sex with a porn star? You know, and then I go, oh my God. Nobody's done this. So then I go out and get the URL, Bumfucks. But you know what? In the end, I just couldn't bring myself to.
Did you call your buddy Contusion to work with you on this?
God, I feel ashamed to say I know who that is. No.
It says nothing good about me that I know who that guy is.
Yeah, I sat on the URL for a long time, and then finally some Russian guys did it. And then, of course, the Japanese were pretty quick on it. And I said, well, let me see if this has got any play, any traction in it. And I watched one, and I go, man, this is horrible. I can't. Yeah, I could probably make $1 million off this, but I just can't countenance this. Even though, you know, all the homeless guys seem really happy, you know. What? I get to have sex with her? All right.
Yep, that's the thing about degradation for money. Oh, well. Anyway, but let's get to the headliner, Chad Mendes and Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah, of course I care.
All right, do you have a pick?
I'm going to have to go with Mendes, man.
Mendes?
Yeah.
I think that's the obvious choice.
Because I think Mendes doesn't think he's finished. And I'm not saying that Lamas thinks he's finished, but I think that Mendes feels like he's being forced into a place he doesn't want to be, which is yesterday's man.
Did I lose you? Are you back? Eugene. He's frozen. He's frozen. We've lost him. But yeah, Mendes coming off a fight against Jose Aldo that looked very tough in several of the rounds. Lost the decision. Ricardo Lamas never had the title shot. No, he did have the title shot, but he got decisioned also. Did not look anywhere near as good as Mendes. Has had two fights since then. Eugene, please come back. We need you. The fans need you. I need you. It's just brutal. The vagaries of the technical issues. And here we are, already finished. I don't know what to do. I don't know if we should end the show. I don't know if Eugene's coming back. He plugged in his landline. This could be on my end, ladies and gentlemen. I do not know. So, I'm going to keep talking, though. Dennis Bermudez, Joaquin Diaz, both victims of Ricardo Lamas since he's been back, only one by submission. Mendes just lost last October to Jose Aldo. 6 months later, he's coming back and fighting a former title contender in Ricardo Lamas. Going to be on mid-afternoon on Fox Sports 1. Let me text. Here's Eugene calling us now. Eugene, what's going on?
I'm getting a meter read. You're frozen, though.
Okay, well, let me log out and come back, but don't stop the broadcast.
No, I'm not going to stop the broadcast. I'm going to keep on talking. Now that you're gone, I'm going to start singing.
Okay, because on my end, it looks like it's frozen from here, but we'll try it. All right, so thanks for calling. All right, so Eugene tells me I'm the one that's frozen, so I'm going to shut this down, and we will see what happens when I come back. Gene, am I here? And it doesn't seem to be working. Says we're live. Let me try to call Eugene back. Ah, the vagaries of technology. You see anything?
No, I don't see you. When you stopped the broadcast, it killed it on my side too.
It killed, so the broadcast stopped, or?
Everything. It just was like, boom, your connection's out, you're done, you're finished. So.
Huh.
So I'm back to the link to try to get in, and now I'm getting nothing.
Well, try that link again, because now I'm back in it. So the audience maybe is bearing with us. Maybe they're not. But I'll send you the link again and see if you can get in. All right. I hope nobody is watching this fiasco because we just seemingly... it says we've got 23 viewers. So the comedy of errors continues. I'm going to email Eugene the link again, see if that works. Technology, folks. It's a brutal killer. It makes a show possible, and then it takes away. It gives, it takes, and I've got to sit here and babble like a moron. Once upon a time, this would have mortified me completely. At least I'm not picking my nose or throwing feces at the cage like a monkey in the zoo, which is how I feel right now. All right, so I've sent Eugene the link. If we can't get him back, I'll just do the closeout. You got to remember to subscribe to MMA Nation on YouTube, MMANation.com. Give us a thumbs up. Follow me on Twitter at KidNate. Follow Eugene on Twitter at Eugene S. Robinson. We were pretty much finished with the show anyway, so if he can't come back on, all 23 viewers are going to be heartbroken. And those of you watching on tape, well, you'll see another priceless care, don't care fiasco. And let's see, read us on bloodyelbow.com. You can read Eugene at Aussie.com or at Vice's Fightland. You can also read his book, Fight, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Ass Kicking, But We're Afraid You Get Your Ass Kicked for Asking. And let's see if that worked. No, I don't know. I don't know, guys. This is brutal. But just think how shitty it's going to feel Saturday morning when you have to get up early, early in the morning, especially if you're on the West Coast like Eugene, and watch MMA on Saturday morning. That is not, I mean, I guess that's how European fans or Australian fans, Asian fans do it all the time. European fans are used to staying up late, late, late into the wee hours and seeing their MMA in the early hours. Let's see what Eugene says. He says he's in, but I don't see you. I don't see you. We might be screwed. Let me send him a different link. Let's see. Wonder if I can invite him. Oh, well. I'm going to call it a show. I'm going to call it a show, guys. Thanks for watching. Let's see. I'm going to tell Eugene, okay, I'm calling it a show. This is like the Luke Thomas show where he texts with his wife during the show. All right. I'm calling it a show. All right. So thanks for watching. Remember, I just told you all the stuff to do, and we'll be back with the vivisection tomorrow. Dallas Winston dealing with a dying cat may or may not join Zane Simon and I for the vivisection. So we'll let you know about that. But that's going to be tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern time, I do believe. Zane and I will be back with the sixth round after the fights. Then Eugene will have Knuckle Up on Monday. Rinse and repeat. And the next UFC Fight Night, Gonzaga versus Krokop, is coming up. And I believe that is on April 11th. So right up next week immediately. No, we got – yep. That's next week, and that is coming out of Poland, the Polish debut, so that'll be on Fight Pass in the middle of the afternoon also in the U.S. So, adios MMA aficionados. We'll see you next time. This is Kid Nate, and sorry about the technical fiascos. Thanks for sticking with me.